harbor. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God, 'cause your grace, for your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me, your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So so remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. See again. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace. Deeper than ocean. You lift me up. Oh God, you are my strength. Your strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me. God, you are my joy. You are my joy. Joy like no other. Joy like no other reaches to me. Hope like no other. Hope like no other reaches to me. Joy like no other. Joy like no other reaches to me. Hallelujah. You are so lovely. You are so lovely. You are so caring. You are so awesome to me. You are so lovely. You are so caring. Father, you are so. Father, you're lovely. Jesus, you're caring. Spirit, you're awesome to me. You are so lovely. You are so caring. You are so awesome to me. Father, you're so lovely. Oh, Father, you're lovely. Jesus, you're caring. Spirit, you're awesome to me. You are so lovely. You are so caring. You are so awesome. To me, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are awesome to me. Hallelujah. 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 You are awesome to me.
You are awesome to us. Our keeper, our fighter, our deliverer, our very present help, our very hope, our very faith. Jesus. Jesus, we speak your name, Lord, and we thank you that you are the God who's promised to build your church, your people, the church that the gates of hell will not and cannot prevail over. Oh, build your church. Raise up your church, your people, with your resurrection life. Ignite your people that they may be like flaming brands, lighting the whole world. Trust your people forward. Trust them into dimensions of grace and favor that you've not experienced before. And trust your people with the fullness of who you are. Be magnified, Father. Do a new thing in our midst. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. you, Jesus. You are awesome to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for leading us. It's such an anointed song. It's a song that you just want to sing and sing and sing and not stop. We serve a living God. Thank you, Father. You're awesome to us all. Amen. Bless you all. You may be seated. We have been studying through the book of Ephesians the last little while, and we'll continue with this passage of Scripture. Week last, I believe we stopped in verse 16, but I will pick it up from verse 12. Actually, let's take it up from verse 11 without restating all the facts. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting. Katatismos is the word used here for perfecting, katatismos. And it means to completely furnish, to complete furnishing the body of Christ. In another sense, for the equipping or the tooling of the saints. We need to be vessels that God can effectively use. Then it says, and for the edifying, oikodome, the edifying, the building up, the creating of an edifice, the edifying, this oikodome is a structural word. It's a word that architects will use. And it's saying to us that the gifts that God has given to us is for the equipping, the retooling, the furnishing of his people, and also for the building up of his people. So we see that the word of the Lord is telling us that these giftings that he gives to us play particular roles. Now, those particular roles are not just instantaneous, but they are progressive. So he gives us these giftings to equip us. But if he equips us and tools us, he will also teach us how to use the tools that we've got. So, for example, God gives to people diverse giftings, gift of prophecy, diverse healings, and on. Each one of us need to learn how those things work. So when I see a particular gifting in my life, I need to talk to the Lord and say, how do I use this? It's not in looking at another person and how they use their gift, because my type of that gift may be different from the other person's gifting. Even though there is a commonality, and that commonality is that it's given by God, but the way I use mine may be different from the way the other person uses theirs. So the Word of God tells us, for example, that when one person is prophesying and another person begins to prophesy, the first one should hush up so that this one can continue, because we dovetail, we get in, and just like one hand gets in front of the other when you're swimming, if you have one wing, you can fly too far. You may be one part of the wing, and the other person might be another part of the wing, and you fly and you flap as you need to. A dear son asked me a question today. He said, why didn't the church know about the events that have reached us and attacked society? Why were we so blind? Why weren't we aware? And I said to him, it's not that we were not aware. It's just that different people had different aspects of what God was saying, and nobody had the fullness of what it was saying, because we see in part, we know in part, and it is the awareness of hearing other people and their giftings, them saying what God is saying to them, that when we pull the information together, we say, wow, look at that. That's what God was saying, and we did not know it. We were not overtaken by surprise. That is not to say that a good section of the body of Christ wasn't. But I do know that I had some awareness in September. I think it was September that we celebrated Rosh Hashanah. We started talking about the open doors and the shut doors and stuff like that. And I think it was in January or so, we started talking about no virus. The virus will not have, my body is not conducive for the production of viruses. So we had a hint, but we did not know the fullness of it. Other people had different dimensions of it. And I do know, I was listening to a program this afternoon that I've not listened to for the longest time. I think the last time I watched the Jim Baker show might have been about 5 or 6 months ago. And I happened to have the television on, and they started talking about a prophet of God that's gone home to be with the Lord, David Wilkinson, and how he had prophesied, I think most likely in the 80s or early 90s, about a plague that was going to come and was going to shut down churches, bars, and government. That was information way ahead of its time. So God always speaks. And when he speaks and he tells us things, we sometimes don't understand it all. I remember the Lord saying to us, there's going to be this shaking. And the shaking came. Now, I didn't know at the time that it was going to be a global shaking as it impacted us all, but the shaking is here. And it has proven, as the Lord said to us last in 2019, it's going to reveal what's inside of us as individuals. What are you made of? I remember, you know, talking about the squeezing that was going to come. And when you get squeezed, like the toothpaste was going to come out on the other side. Those were all hints of God telling us about what was coming up. I didn't have the details. And I do know that many other men and women of God did not have the details, but we all had this piece there, that piece there, and that piece there, and that piece there. And when you put it all together, it all makes sense. Why is God speaking? To edify, to get the church ready. Now I'm saying to us about the situation that's happening and how it's going to back off, and that we're going to have a sliver of time, and then it's going to hit the fan, and at that time it's going to be mega. But we have to learn to discipline ourselves right now to be ready for what's coming up, because this stage is going to wrap up, because God is beginning to expose. He told us to back off the darkness, because if we don't, we were going to be overrun before time. And tonight, I believe, before we finish, we're going to pray and keep on pushing back the darkness. It has been pushed back, but it needs to be pushed back all the way back, so that the body of Christ can do what it's called to do. And we have a brief time to do it, but God is going to do a quick work. Amen? Hallelujah. And we need to position ourselves to be used gloriously, because none of us will take anything that we have with us. We are going to have to invest our lives for the purposes of the Lord. This is for the edifying of the body of Christ. For what reason? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. We all come in the unity of the faith. We all come in the unity of the faith. That which unifies us. What unifies us? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Because it is in him that the fullness of God dwells bodily. We're going to have to come into that reality of who is Jesus to us. Remember, in Matthew 16, he said, who do men say that I am? Oh, you Jeremiah, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ. Upon this particular revelation, I'm going to build my church. And this church of the last days needs to come into true awareness of who Jesus is. He's the one who unifies us all, having the unity of faith. Of what? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, this word here, this perfect, is different from the other perfect. This perfect word here, or perfect man, is the word teleos. Teleos. And teleos has to do with maturity. We need to come to that place where we are mature, grown up mentally, morally. A people that say that they are people of God and are not spiritually grown up, mentally grown up, morally grown up, and are easily swayed this way and that way and this way and that way, are people that are not going to accomplish the purposes of God. You know, what I've found out in life is that the arguments that people make sense based on the information that they are pulling together. Based on the information, the pool of information that you have, you make certain decisions. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the decision that you've made is the truth. It is the truth based on what you think you know. But and then this person is arguing this way and it's based on the truth that they know. But the real truth is the information of this person and this person put together and analyzed. And what happens many times is that we don't listen to each other. We talk past each other. You don't know why that person is thinking that way. All you're doing is saying, you're crazy, you're foolish, you're dummy, you blah, 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 blah. And this one is cursing at this person, and blah, 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 blah. And you're just cursing at each other and fighting each other. If they only just brought all their information together, it says, oh, no, I see why you are thinking like that. You're not crazy after all. You're a little bit slow, but... we get to understand each other. And coming to that place of a perfect man is coming into a place of understanding where you analyze things based on truth. What does God say about this? Because the only person who knows all the truth is God. That's where the fullness of life is. So we need to grow into that knowledge, onto a perfect man. And then it says, onto the measure of the stature of this fullness of Christ. Now, that's an extraordinary place to be, to come into the fullness of who Jesus is. That's what God wants us to get at. Come to that place where we are fully anointed like he was. And he says that the fullness was beyond what he did while he was here on earth. Because the fullness is us doing greater things because he's gone to be with the Father. And until he went to the Father, he just functioned at a particular level. Can you imagine that the Lord is actually saying that we're going to do exactly what he did and do more than that? Because I go to be with the Father? That's an extraordinary place to be at. And the church has not experienced it. But I believe the church will. Amen? We will. Because he said he couldn't do anything without the Father. And he says we can't do anything without him. Therefore, we do know that for us to get to that place, it's going to be him doing it in us and through us, supernaturally. Amen? Hallelujah. It says that we, and the purpose of this edifying and this growing up mentally and emotionally and spiritually, this equipping us, the ultimate goal of it, other than coming to the fullness of who Christ is that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people who lay there waiting to deceive. You know, they're just there, quiet, and you're moving back and forth, nothing is happening. And you relax, thinking it's safe, and bang! No escape. He says, I want you to come to that place where you are very aware of your environment. When something is off, your antennas go up right away, and you hone into it. Because the fact is that deception has a lot of truths to it. Just has just a little thing off. And you say, wow. Mama called me in one day and says, I want you to watch this program. Look at what's happening. And there was this guy dissecting the teaching of somebody else and talking about, the subject was about Jesus becoming sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And this one person is saying all kinds of stuff and, you know, very specifically pointing at particular sins and saying, Jesus became that sin and Jesus became this and Jesus, and this guy over here is flipping on it. Oh my goodness, how can he say such a thing? Blah, 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 blah. He's just really mad. How can you say such a thing? Jesus couldn't have been that. And I'm listening to these guys. One of them was wrong. But the one that was right was not acknowledging where that one was really wrong and saying, he's saying the truth, but there is a little off, and this is the off. But he's throwing this other brother under the bus completely. This guy is evil. Well, I'm listening to these two guys. I'm saying, there's no evil there. He's wrong. But this is where he's wrong. Now, that was an easy one or difficult one. Neither one of them is going to get the other to hell. Whether this one believes, oh, Jesus became this sin, and that became that sin, and so on and so forth. That's not going to take this guy to hell or cause him to cause other people to go to hell. Except if he goes past that point and he says this is a clincher. If he goes and says, you know what, because he has become that for you, you can live your life any which way you want because Jesus became that. Now we've got a problem. Because Jesus took on my sin does not give me the license to sin. Because he paid the price for my sins, past, present, and future, does not give me the license to continue in sin. It's just saying that he's addressed the situation of sin. But now he gives me grace, the word of God tells me, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Grace is not about license to sin. It's about the license to know that you have the authority to overcome sin. Make sense? But if you take it the wrong way, then you're going to lead people astray. God did not come so that you can continue in sin. So there are people who lay right there waiting to find who to deceive. They have silver tongues and they can be very convincing and all of that. And one of the things that we need to be very aware of is this, that you don't live your life based on miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. Because the devil is going to do miracles too. The Antichrist is going to be a very anointed, powerful, demonically led individual that's going to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And the false prophet of the one world church is going to do miracles. So if your life is just based on signs, wonders, and miracles, and that's how you define it, I tell you what, you're lost. You've got the bottom line is the word of truth. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And any preacher that is preaching anything but that is a deceiver. I don't care how many miracles they are doing. Oh, we've got to tolerate this religion and we're all seven. No, we're not serving the same God. No, no, no. If the God you are serving is not the God of absolute love who gave his only begotten Son for the salvation of mankind, we are not serving the same God. Period. And anybody, I don't care how many doctorate degrees they've got, and how educated and smart they are, and how anointed they are, and miracles happen when they pray, if they don't have that as a bottom line, we're not speaking the same language. We are not coming in the same unity of faith. We're not coming into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we need to be very careful what we are talking about. And, well, this is where it gets really interesting. Not everybody who's calling the name of Jesus is calling the same Jesus that you're talking about. So you need to find out what Jesus they're talking about. What Jesus are you talking about? What is the characteristic of this Jesus you're talking about? And that's the role of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, to make certain that we have clarity. Know who Jesus is, and therefore are not tossed fro and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And then this verse goes on and says, but speaking the truth in love, the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. In all things. We grow up in love and we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now that's important for us to understand. When we talk about growing up into him, it means that we're growing. It means that we're not fully there. We're starting at a particular point, just like my child or my grandchildren started out, and just like you and I started out, we're little. We started out like, you know, from an egg state or whatever, you know, the fertilized egg, and then all this splitting and all of that, and growing from just a little pin, you know, kind of a thing, and we grew up and we started growing inside a womb, and then we were born and were helpless, but you were growing and growing and growing. One day you started crawling, one another day you started, you know, learning how to stand, and you started running, and now you are now having children. Well, you grew up. The same thing in the realm of the spirit. We grow up. Every day I need to grow in the things of God, in the knowledge of the things of God, experiencing God in a new way, seeing what I used to know in a deeper level. It does not negate whatever it is I knew before. It's just that I now know it at a higher level. Once upon a time, it was arithmetic. And then, you know, you started doing math, and you had geometry and algebra, and then you went to calculus and all kinds of stuff, and, you know, sine, cosine. You know, what is sine, cosine? What is all this stuff? You know, what is, how, when did X, I thought X is supposed to be an alphabet. When and Y and Z? Well, how did it come in here in my arithmetic? 2X plus, what is this? Well, you're growing. And the principles that you had in arithmetic are carried up. You're still carrying those same principles. If you understood it, the application is coming up. And you keep on going. Same things in the things of God. You keep on growing. You never stop growing. The thing is that many people grow to a particular point and you think, I have arrived. No, none of us have arrived. There's so much more about God that you don't know. so much more about God that I am clueless about. And I just have to grow and say, God, I'm just your son. Make me a manifestation of your person. Help me to grow. Help me, Lord, to grow in the things of your spirit. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me how to minister healing to your people. Teach me how to prophesy. Teach me. Help me to grow in my prophetic grace and anointing. And God will just keep on building you up. And you get better and better and better. And this is what we've got to understand, that while you are growing, there are times that you may fall flat on your face. I gave a prophetic word and I was off on a tangent. You know why many times? Growing up, I got to learn that God showed me this, and I brought my natural mind to this, and I started interpreting this, and that's why I got it wrong. It was not that this that he showed me was wrong, is that I had my own understanding of this. And I said, I started with this, and then I started saying this, and then that makes sense, and then that makes sense, and now I've gone off. So I learned, well, God is showing me this. I'm going to keep on processing it until I know exactly what this means and how it applies to your particular situation. Amen? In the prayer line last, I guess that was Sunday night. Yeah. You know, there were so many people that came through, and God had very specific words, and some of them were just flabbergasted. How on earth do you know that? What? You just read my book, front to back. Well, it's based on what God was showing. They had left their calling, and God was reminding them of their calling. It's not like something they told anybody. Not that they sat down with Mama and I and told us, you know. But here, we're telling them what God was saying. Oh my! I remember one person coming up, and I'm not going to say exactly what their particular situation was. And the Lord tells me what their profession was. And he says, but don't tell him, ask him what his profession is, what he's trying to get to. And the person said, well, this is what I'm trying to get at. I said, you sure? Yeah. The Lord showed it to me. But what the Lord told me was different from what the Lord told him. And Mama is confirming what I'm telling him. I said, this is what the Lord said. And he stopped. And he says, interesting. I really want to be this. And what he said that he wanted to be, and what we said God was saying, all of a sudden dovetailed together. We had a part of what he needed to do, and he had part of what he needed to do, and we brought them together, it made full sense. Then sprang for the next person, and that person, what this guy was saying was his profession. The other person, that was that person's, the second person's profession. So say, you are the whatever. This one is a mixture. This one has a mixture of this and that, but you are this. So the guy is thinking, but that's not what I really wanted to do. I wanted to do this. So he came and asked us later, are you sure? We said, yeah. He said, but this is what I wanted to do. Then we told him, can't you see it? What we just told you and what you want to do, they're exact same thing. Oh, yeah. He had a different name for what he wanted to do, but what he wanted to do and what God was saying that he was were the same thing, but at two different levels. Interesting. So the person received that word and were impacted by that word, and they will fulfill that destiny, that purpose. I can go on and on and on about different situations, but the idea is that we grow. You get to grow. You grow in all things. If he's a physician, then you grow in that grace of a physician. How? With the healing anointing. To minister healing to people. If he's a prophet, you're growing in that. And it's going to show up in you growing in dreams, in visions, in discernment. You grow. You keep on growing. And you come to the fullness of that. And God wants us to grow into the fullness of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Let's go on to the next verse. Verse 16. It says, from whom? From whom? That is the Christ. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is a verse that we're supposed to really start with, but the Lord wanted to make some more, talk some more about other parts. But this verse here is very important. From whom, that is from the Lord, whom the whole body fitly joined together. I want you to see it like this. See it like a puzzle. See it like a puzzle. Each puzzle is whole to itself. And each puzzle is not identical to the other puzzles that it may fit with. And each puzzle doesn't fit with all the other pieces of puzzles. It only fits with the ones that are close to it, who in turn fit with the other ones that are close to it, which in turn fits with the others. Now, in the body, globally and locally, there are particular persons or ministries that we fit with. You don't have to push anything. It just fits. It's just there. Bang. Wow. We fit. We roll together. Not every Pentecostal or charismatic or evangelical church fits together. Not all Mennonite churches fit together. However, when you look at the body, there are particular aspects that particular bodies bring to the table that cause us to be connected. Ultimately, we want to grow into the fullness of who Jesus Christ is, which is the whole page or the whole picture that our puzzle is going to form. But not one of us has the everything of it. I have a little piece, and your person has a little piece. This person has their traditions that they go with. They come to church and they have to do this. Well, that's their part. And the reality is that when you think about it, once upon a time, I don't know whether that's still as true, but once upon a time, the church that had the most reverence for God, I will say, was the Catholic Church. They had that. They had a certain level of fear. Now, we cannot say that they knew the Bible very well, but they had certain things. Well, the ra-ra-ra-ra-ra, those were the Pentecostals and Charismatics. Hallelujah. You know, some churches are more focused on deliverance. Everything is deliverance. Everything is deliverance. You know, you got to be delivered. You know, you wear your shoes the wrong way, you don't brush it properly, you need to be delivered. you have a watch on, you need to be delivered. You got an earring, oh my God, you need to be delivered. That's their portion. Now, do people need to be delivered? Absolutely. Some people just, their thing is casting out demons. Hey, if you have demons issues, take them to that church, let them cast the demon, then go somewhere else. I don't know. But we work together. That's the point. Even in the church, your local church, there are particular people that have particular gifts. So let them do their thing. I don't have the anointing to build a stage. If I built this stage, my Lord, it will be all over the place. you'll be walking and tripping all over the place because nothing is going to be right. But there are people who know how to do that. I don't know how to work the computers and, you know, get the message out. But there are people who know how to do that. So you let them do their thing. That's their gift. That's their assignment. But if God has called you to do stuff over there, but you think you know so much, you want to do stuff from over here, then we've got to have problems. And I was checking on my Facebook page the other day, and I see this young man. I think he's trying to be a pastor or whatever it is that he's trying to be. I don't know. And that's not his grace. You can tell. This guy better be doing something else because this is not what God has called him to. He needs to sit under somebody that will help him come to his fullness. But he thinks, well, the only way to serve God is to be a pastor. Wrong. And there's so many churches like that. They just started it because that's the way they thought they could serve God. It's not like they didn't want to be part of something, but this is the way. You know, it's like Mama wanted to be a nun because she thought that's the only way to serve God until she met me and says, I forget about that. Hallelujah. Well, So we need to bring what we've got. Because if you don't bring what you've got to the table, that particular body is not going to function effectively. And then we complain, oh, the church is this, or the church is that, blah, blah, blah. Did you bring what you've got to the table? The grace that God has on your life, have you presented it? Did you present it with love and said, this is what I'm bringing to the table? And then we start looking for the puzzles that fit. Who fits with this person so that their gift can now be enhanced? Because as a single puzzle sticking out there, you mean nothing. You absolutely mean nothing to anybody. It is when you connect it to the other person, to the other piece, that's connected to the other piece, that you start taking form. And that's what happens to us. We take form as we allow each person to play their particular role. But what do we know? This is a person that's supposed to play a particular role, but you think that you can do it better. So when you think you can do it better than that person, what's the driving force? Is that the Spirit of God or your flesh that's acting up? The most anointed person for a particular ministry might not be the most gifted in that particular ministry. Let me put it this way. If you were a corner piece in the puzzle, one side here is straight, one side here is straight, because you're the corner piece, you might only be touching one or two other pieces. But the guy that is over here, close to the center, may be touching three or four other pieces. And if you at the corner want to come here in the center, then the whole puzzle is messed up. Oh, but I fit with this end fits with this person over here. But you are the corner piece, man. That you fit does not mean that you are in the right place. Anybody else fitting with you? Are you completing the picture or are you distorting the picture? Let me wrap up with this. What I've learned in life is this, that many times people argue about things and they just think it's got to be done this way. And this is the only way to do it. The only thing I found out to be truly, truly, truly 100%, this is the only way, is Jesus. Most every other thing in life, there is another way to accomplish it. It might not be the best way, but it is a way. And if we learn to listen to each other, if we learn to listen to each other, then this is what happens. That we don't argue the point. What is your idea? Why are you thinking that way? What about this particular problem? How does this way of you thinking solve this problem? And you might find out that you come up with a better result. Amen? We work together by bringing our supply. Let me end it this way. What you see on the stage right now was not at the very beginning on the stage and on the aisleways. Was not at the very beginning this way. For example, this color here was not the original color. this color became this color by just talking. We had a problem, and we tried to solve that problem, and that problem was there because I didn't have the right color in mind. The color I had in mind would have worked beautifully, and I wasn't even considering this color at all. I saw this color and I said, no, until we had the problem. Then I looked at it again. I said, you know what? I think this is the right color. Let's get that color. So we got this color. We had other ideas, but we've been changing it, tweaking it. And even what you see right here in this hallway right now, this is not the final one. There's still a tweaking. Right here, this is not the final way it's going to be. There's a tweaking. Right there, that was not supposed to have any carpet, but now there's going to be carpeting in there. There is a tweaking. It is all being tweaked. How did it get tweaked? Because of listening. There's a problem. How do we solve this problem? And how would this problem getting solved? You see, when you're solving one problem, it creates another problem. But you see, in life, as you work it, that which every part supplies begins to take formulation. See, ultimately what I had to do is say, okay, God, the colors are here, but exactly what do you see? How do you see this place? We're on the road to it, but how do you see it? How do you see it? And when we finally get everything done, it will be exactly like Father saw it. And everybody will be happy with it and say, perfect. That's good. But it didn't always start that way. And so it is about the church. We get perfected. We get built up. We get increased because of what every person is bringing to the table. Everybody's bringing it to the table. You're bringing a particular aspect to the table. You're bringing a particular aspect to the table. And as we bring it, everything falls in the proper place. And ultimately, God is glorified. And we are greatly blessed. My prayer is that we will be that. Next week, we'll start from this verse. I'll make sure I don't go to the other verses. We'll start from here and build on this because there's so much information there that will lead us to the next levels as the people of God. But what I want us to see here is this, that we've got something to bring to the table. And when you bring it to the table, you find yourself. Until then, you are alone by yourself. But when you get connected, you become bigger. You become part of the bigger picture. And when we all get connected, we become part of the whole picture. That's when God is truly glorified. Because every little piece counts. Everything counts. When everybody does their part, the Most High is exalted in His people. Amen? Praise God. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your word and for the transformation that's made possible because your grace sufficient is working a work of grace in us and through us. We receive your guidance and we ask, oh God, that you bring your body together, this great, wonderful puzzle. Lord, oh God, let every piece that belongs to each other come. As you said in Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones, each bone found its bone, and the structure was built. Sinews were put in place. The flesh came into its proper place. And then breath came into them, and they became that great, mighty army. Father, do the same with us. Let every bone find its bone, and let each one be attached. Let the sinews, the muscles, everything take their rightful place so that we are held together and are able to stand and move, because your spirit comes into us and we are quickened by that same spirit to live life to the full. Thank you, Father, for what you've done, for the manifestation of your glory, and for the continuity that's made possible because of grace, your eternal grace in our lives, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, let us honor God with our giving. And at this time, let's show the promo for the next gathering that we're going to be having as a conference, the Fresh Oil New Wine Conference. We have a great man of God, Bishop Felix Omobude. He is the head of all of the Pentecostal charismatic churches in Nigeria. And by default, you might say he is the head for all of those churches in Africa, because the Nigerian church, by default, by its size and by its reach, is the lead church in the continent. And so this next speaker that's going to be speaking to us is going to be a powerful force. And he was a pastor of the, without fail, I would say the greatest man of God that's been raised up in Africa, called Benson Idahosa. He was one of his pastors. This man was actually Mama's mother's pastor. Yeah, come to think of it. Yeah, the Mama's mom attended his church before she went home to be with the Lord. And when I do talk with him, I'm going to chat with him about that. But anyhow, we are going to be greatly blessed by this man that God has handpicked, because he's anointed. I've shared the stage with him different times through the years. The last time was in a stadium in Lagos, Nigeria, where we had a mega outreach. And he spoke either before me or after I spoke. One of those, I'm not too sure which now, but he's a very anointed man, and he's going to impact our lives greatly. Please roll the tape so people get to meet Bishop. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please spread the word. Let others know about this conference. And I encourage you to be in the house for this particular conference. I don't know what day we are going to do it, but one of the days I'm going to encourage you to get a bottle of oil and bring it, you know, and while we're praying and ministering, I trust that God will infuse those oils so that as you're ministering to people and laying hands or on others or on yourself, that it will be a point of agreement for miracles to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. And I look forward to seeing you on Friday for a time of prayer. And may the darkness be pushed back completely. And may we walk in this fullness of life that our Father has made possible for us. We tread on serpents and on scorpions, and nothing by any means will be able to hurt us. We are established in truth. The favor of God is upon our lives, for we are head and not tail, above only and not beneath. In Jesus, Yeshua's name, we decree it so. Amen and amen. God bless you and good night. Love you. Oh.